the last word
with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.
Only yesterday we were talking about the rate of inflation in the year to the end of March up to 3.6%. And if it hadn't been for the oil crisis of the last month caused by the illegal waging of war in the Gulf, it's quite likely that inflation would have been heading down towards 2%. Owen Reedy is with us, General Secretary of the Irish Congress of Trade Unions. Because Owen, I was saying just before the break there that last year, Pascal Donoghue, in his last budget as Minister for Finance, essentially left it up to workers to fight for pay increases in the workplace because he wasn't giving them any extra income tax benefits. So you have a situation whereby you had been recommending to your members to look for, what was it, about 6%?
The minimum of 4.7 up to 6.
4.7. Are you changing that now in light of the inflation adjustments?
We might have to, Matt, and it's crazy that we're having this conversation. Obviously, for the people in the Gulf, it's much worse. They're risking life and limb. We're risking an energy crisis. But again, you know, if Trump has taught us anything, it's that we need to de-risk from foreign direct investment. Keep it, but de-risk. And he is also teaching us with this crisis that we need to de-risk from fossil fuels. And we need to learn these lessons because this guy is just so unpredictable and who knows what's going to come after him. And I just hope that Europe and the European leaders start to grow a spine and take the leaf out of Pedro Sanchez's book and face up to this guy.
Yeah, but can we afford to do so when we have so much foreign direct investment in Ireland, creating upwards of 260,000 direct jobs, lots of jobs feeding into that as well, enormous income tax revenues because these tend to be higher paid jobs, and enormous corporation tax revenues. Can we be like the Spanish when we have so much of a greater dependency on American foreign direct investment than anyone else in the EU proportionately?
Yeah, I think we can, because de-risking doesn't mean throwing the baby out with the bathwater. It just means saying, look, we have had a good time with American FDI. Much of it is actually unionized, good employment, Pfizer's and many companies like that. But it's a case of saying, okay, we've had this. It may not be there forever. How do we pivot and diversify?
Pivoting and diversifying now is a bit different to what I'm saying, is that you have to keep what we have happy, don't we? And you maybe then try and add further foreign direct investment from other sources, but you can't be saying just goodbye to the Americans, can you?
No one wants to say goodbye. I think we need to say it's there, we want to keep it, but we cannot rely on it. And there's been an over-reliance on it. I think we do need to look at the domestic economy, which doesn't perform that well. In fact, the FDI has overshadowed and nearly blurred the need to take a long, hard look at the domestic economy. But we do need to try and create that kind of entrepreneurial spirit in Ireland of innovation where we can have our own success stories.
Do we not do well on that, given that, you know, we've increased our workforce by about three times since 1990? The vast majority of jobs are in the private sector outside of the FDI companies and outside of state employment.
Yeah, and it's in a lot of small SMEs. But, you know, we produce other people's drugs. Why don't we have, like the Danes came up with Ozempic. We don't have a version of that. I've heard a lot of people say Irish innovators, they'd rather innovate in America or Sweden, where the regime is different from Ireland. Your own podcast was talking about that at the weekend with the former Taoiseach. So I think we need to look and say, what is it we're doing right but might not be sustainable, and how can we build the economy for the next generation? And I do think we need to look at FDI, but a different type of FDI, not just from America, but also we need to look at the domestic economy.
From where? FDI from where else?
Well, I think we could look at it from other parts of Europe as well. I mean, there are European companies that are operational in Ireland, you know, Ericsson, many German companies that are based.
But they don't really have the need as much to be in Ireland, do they? The Americans use us as almost
a gateway into Europe.
So the other members of EU countries don't need us as a gateway into Europe. And it's not like we can offer cheaper pay rates or whatever.
No, but I think the question is, do we have the right ecosystem around FDI currently? Do we have the spin-off? I mean, there are so many Irish people who have worked in management roles and a lot of American FDI. Are we seeing them set up their own spin-off companies? Are we encouraging them to do that? Are we supporting them to do that? I think we need to look at all of that. But we're only going to do that if government, employers, unions come together and say, what do we want Ireland to look like in the next 10, 20, 30 years' time? We don't do that, Matt, in this country. It's very short-termist. It's very the next election.
Okay, you mentioned about you're looking for pay increases, 4.2% to 6% in the private sector. Will private sector companies be able to afford that if they now see their own costs increasing dramatically, their own inflation, particularly of business inputs, particularly of fuel.
Well, work has to pay. I mean, we've all talked about things like targeted measures from the government, but there are issues and problems with that, because the reality is the welfare system we have, we don't collect the data to have targeted measures. I give you an example. If you have a couple who are both 58 working on a joint income of 100 grand a year, and their kids have maybe been lucky to leave home and they've paid off their mortgage. Take another couple in their early 30s with two young kids, their joint income of 100 grand a year, and they've got a crazy mortgage. How do we make a targeted measure to capture that? And I don't think we have the data to address that. So are you saying
energy credits for everyone again?
No, I think that's a mistake. But there's a couple of things we can do, and I think we are doing, and we need to do more of. For the people who need their vehicle to get to work, and I mean, you know, it's in urban areas, but also in rural areas, there is the excise duty on VAT and on the VAT on petrol and diesel. That's been done, and we need to look at that. I don't think we need that forever, but we do need to maybe look at it again if this gets worse. But we need to look at workers in urban areas who rely on public transport. When Russia invaded Ukraine, we slashed the public transport costs. We need to do that again. We need to reduce the cost of public transport. We need to have a mature conversation with the employers about hybrid working and move away from this nonsense that presenteeism means everyone's productive. So there are measures that we can take that are targeted for workers. But make no mistake about it, if inflation does creep up, we will be adjusting that figure of 4.7 to 6% because work needs to pay. And of course, we've seen the report from the SRI recently that shows that, you know, increases to the minimum wage have had no negative impact on work, on the economy and on unemployment. So we need to, you know, we need to make sure work pays not just for the lowest paid, but for those middle income earners who are struggling in a cost of living crisis.
What about public sector pay? When does the current pay deal run out?
That runs out in June.
So are you well into negotiations?
No, those negotiations haven't commenced yet. Our public sector committee have met and they are preparing themselves and engaging with their members on the key priorities, and they will make themselves ready and available for talks with government when government ultimately invite them in.
Sorry, given that it's only 3 months away, how could you not?
The last phase is paid in June and it runs for a period of time. So there is time, and any agreement that is reached will be retrospective. But there are no negotiations ongoing yet. Our public service committee and our public service unions are readying themselves. They'll take into account inflation. They'll take into account movements in the minimum wage, issues in the private sector, and the general well-being of the economy. And again, in public and private, we have to make sure work pays.
Okay, if you're talking about 4.7 to 6% in the private sector, would that suggest it'll be at least that in what you look for in the public sector?
I don't know, because that's going to be for the public sector unions to discuss, debate and ultimately decide. I mean, they live in the same world as private sector workers. They get the same economic advice from NERI, and I think they'll take into account inflation, and I would imagine they will take into account the, you've mentioned it before, the last little thing that the former Minister for Finance left when he said, we're not indexing tax bands, seek it from your employer. They'll certainly take that into account. So,
well, then would you expect in the forthcoming budget in October, Simon Harris's budget, that there will be income tax cuts as well that will work alongside any pay increases to try and leave people in a better position personally and for families?
We wouldn't advocate for income tax cuts. We would advocate for the tax bands to be adjusted to reflect increases in pay. But we're not looking for income tax cuts.
Why not?
Because I think that's a short term, it's going to get us nowhere. We need to broaden the tax base.
I think a lot of our listeners might like the idea of having more of their own money in their pocket.
But here's the thing, Matt. If you say to a worker on 60, 70 grand a year, which might seem on paper a decent wage, but they could be struggling, do you want an extra fiver or tenner in your pocket of your own money? Or do you want that money to work for you when it comes to the social security systems that you rely upon? I think that most of them will take the long-term view. Where we need to see increases in their pocket is at the workplace, and that's where unions come in, and that's where we'll be making no apologies to make sure that workers in the public and the private sector see real pay increases beyond inflation, whatever that is.
Okay, we'll leave it there. Thank you very much. Owen Reedy, General Secretary of the Irish Congress of Trade Unions.
The last word with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.